Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Would you come into agreement with me right now, church? As Pastor Verna was declaring, the Lord showed her about some doors are closed. I felt a weeping in my spirit for the church. And so come into agreement with me right now. I feel called to pray. Father, we know that many churches in America and around the world, Lord, have closed doors to you. And egregious, horrific things are going on behind those closed doors. And Lord, our hearts are in grief at the sin that is taking place with your anointed, Lord. Father, expose, first of all, to them, that they might get on their face before you and repent of their evil and wicked ways, Lord. And Father, we pray the same over America, and I thank you, Lord, that you are opening the doors of heinous crimes, of treasonous acts that are happening right now in the United States of America. And Lord, we give you permission for more. Keep opening. Expose the cesspool. Bring it out, Lord, the stench. Bring it out that people will repent before you, Lord. This is a serious time that we're in. And we realize that the church's life is hanging in the balance. The United States of America may be hanging in the balance right now, Lord. And it's because people refuse to repent and come back to the truth of your word. So, Father, have mercy, we pray in Jesus' name. My message to you today, church, is a call to prayer for America. And I'll warn you ahead of time, I won't be fluffing any pillows today. It's a pretty strong message that the Lord has given me. And I felt the urgency of the Holy Spirit that it must be delivered now. So there's prayer points that I'm going to take you through today. And they're by actually Kevin Zadi, who's a prophet, a wonderful man of God, a trusted prophet in our nation today. And the Lord took him to heaven again. He's been there many times. One time he died and went to heaven, and the Lord sent him back to declare the works of the Lord. But this time he gave him 15 prayer points that he said, Kevin, I want you to be praying and to engage the Church of America to pray these things right now. They're pertinent and they're important. So I'll be going over 7 of them with you. One is my own. And, of course, the Holy Spirit has downloaded in me what he wants to impart to you today. So let's go to 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and we're going to jump right in. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, which are specific requests, prayers, intercessions, which are prayers for others, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in positions of high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. So we see here that it's God's will that we pray for those in authority over us. And he not only says that it's his will for us to pray for those in authority over us, but he gives us a command to do it first of all. Before anything else we pray for those in authority over us. Why is that? So that we might live in peace with all godliness and dignity. So this is for our good. John 5, 14 and 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So beside me, I have hard copies of these prayer points that I want you to feel free to take. If you have a family, use them as your children, with your children as tools, so that they might pray over our nation and the scriptures that are with those prayer points. And so feel free to grab those on your way out. This election that's coming up, in my opinion, is the most critical election that I have ever seen in my lifetime. Our freedoms, especially as believers, are at stake, and they're hanging in the balance right now in this election that is coming in just 9 more days. It's time. It's time, church, to pray. It's time to vote. It's time to call ourselves to prayer, and it's a call to wake up America. We must pray. So the first thing that we're to pray for is we need to pray against lukewarmness. There are no history makers or world changers who are lukewarm. Amen? When we don't know our authority in Christ, we tend to back off and we live from a compromised position. So we need to know our authority in Christ, and we must get the holy fire from the altar of the Lord and stand up for what is right. Lukewarmness must go from the believer's life, and when it does, it will also go from the church's life. This is our responsibility. So we know in Psalm 91 that angels are on a special assignment to keep us in all of our ways. And angels are near the flames of that fire on the altar of God in heaven all the time. And so because God is hot with his own fire, the angels are also hot with the fire of God. And so we must also get hot with the fire of God. That's our responsibility. When the church is hot with the fire of God, we will have a manifestation of God on the earth. And we will see change in our nation. When we're lukewarm and complacent, we can't expect anything will change. We cannot afford to be lukewarm in anything. We can't be lukewarm in our prayer life. We can't be lukewarm with intimacy with God. We cannot be lukewarm with our worship. We cannot be lukewarm in our service to our Savior, our marriages, and our children. Amen? So Revelation 3:16, this is God's message to the church of Laodicea, and no church wants to hear this message. So because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless, and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So God is saying, I will reject you with disgust. I don't know about you, but those are words I never want to hear from my Lord and Savior. So I say to you, body of Christ, rise up in your authority and break the power of the devil in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for lukewarmness and anything that we have done in our lives that has prevented us from being hot. Forgive our complacency. Forgive us for wasted time. We refuse to be lukewarm. Say with me, church, I refuse to be lukewarm. Amen. So God can't stir up the fire for us, can he? We have to do it. He expects us to do it. He counts on us to do it. America needs us to do it. Your family needs you to do it. Your church needs you to stir up the fire on your own altar. Pastor Verna can't do it for you. Your prayer team can't do it for you. There has to be a hunger and a longing for him and every one of us that simply will not settle. Amen. When President Trump first took office and he met with so many pastors from every sector of America, I remember seeing videos of this meeting. He said to those pastors, he said, I want you to know I'm for you. I want you to know that I'm for the church in America. He said, in fact, I think I'm more for the church than you are, pastors. That's a sobering thing. And he said, in fact, when are you going to give voice and stand up for the church of America? So again, God says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth and I will reject you in disgust. Aren't you thankful that our pastor is not lukewarm? She doesn't preach a watered-down version of the gospel. Aren't you thankful that the truth is spoken from this pulpit to all the voices that are listening in? So the second thing, we must pray against fear. This is when we're going to get in a little bit of rough water here, so I might ruffle some feathers, but that's okay. There's fear everywhere, but it has no business in the house of the Lord. Amen? Say that with me. Fear has no business in the house of God. Everywhere you go, pray for people and prophesy against fear over them. You know, God wants to heal, and he wants them to know that he's a good God. So we pray for boldness to stand up in our authority. Acts 4, 29 and 30, and I want us to declare this together. And I'll give you a little bit of background on these verses. In Acts chapter 2, we know that's when the Holy Spirit came upon those who were in the upper room, right? He descended upon them with tongues of fire, and they all went forth from that place with the fire of God speaking in other languages. But in Acts chapter 4, the Holy Spirit came upon them once again, but this time it was to endue them with power from on high and give them boldness to go out and do the works of the Lord. So let's declare this together. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. Amen. And so right after they prayed that prayer, verse 31 says, at that moment the earth shook beneath them, causing the building where they were to tremble. Each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. So let's pray that again. Let's declare that again, and we'll make it personal this time. Lord, empower me as your servant to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power to me to heal and move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. Amen. So, Lord, fill us with unrestrained boldness in this hour. We remove fear from our vocabulary. We remove fear as a mindset. We remove fear as a stronghold. And we cast out the spirit of fear from our country, our churches, and our homes in Jesus' name. How are we to vote as Christians? It's simple. We vote the Bible. We vote according to God's word. What is he against and what is he for? If God's team, and he has a team, does not get voted in this election, fear will explode like never before in the United States of America. So these are the things against God's word that we should not be voting for. The first one is abortion. It's the unrestrained torture of a baby being dismembered in mama's womb, which is supposed to be a safe place. We vote against that. If that team who is for abortion gets elected, we're going to need every ounce of boldness to stand in the evil day. If the team who promotes the LGBT movement, same-sex marriage, who promotes gender identities other than what God has ordained, they condone and promote sexual practices with minors, sex trafficking, horrid acts against children, acts against humanity. If that candidate wins, we're going to need every ounce of boldness to stand in the evil day. If you're voting for one who's in favor of removing God from the Pledge of Allegiance, from keeping prayer out of our schools and public places, and is promoting that our children be taught the Muslim religion in school but not Christianity, you're going to need every ounce of boldness to stand in the evil day. If you're voting for a team who does not stand with and for Israel, God's chosen, and this candidate wins, we're going to need every ounce of boldness to stand in the evil day. If you're voting for the team who promotes and funds rioting, looting, murder, and violence in the cities of America and wants to defund law enforcement, if that candidate wins, we're going to need every ounce of boldness to stand in the evil day. Lord, fill us with unrestrained boldness in this hour as your people. If God's anointed appointed does not win, the days to come will be far more evil than they are right now. And the devil will be even more unleashed in the United States of America that we've never seen before. More of our rights, more of our privileges could all of a sudden be taken away, and it will make COVID lockdown look like child's play. The church as we know it could be a thing of a past. Assembling of ourselves together could be a thing in the past unless we go underground. We assemble in secret, as is happening in many foreign countries. It could cost us our lives. Are you ready for that? Are you praying for your country? Do you know that prayer can change the course of history for a country? One man could do it. Think of what happens when all of us pray. When Daniel prayed, it changed the course of history. When Moses prayed, it changed the course of history. When Esther prayed, it changed the course of history. When Abraham prayed, it changed the course of history for Israel. Have you bathed the elections in prayer and in fasting? Are you praying daily for our president right now? Are you praying daily for the United States of America? Are you praying daily for our pastor and this house? This is our responsibility to steward all things that God has put us in charge of. Have you prayed about who is God's choice in America? Have you listened to what the tried and true prophets are saying about the church in America? Are you listening to them? I'm not talking about the prophet liars who are on Facebook and are here today and gone tomorrow. But these are men and women who are tried and true. They've been tested and tried in the fire of God. Their prophecies are accurate. God has found them pure, and they are trusted vessels of His. And there's no guile in them. They speak only what the Spirit of God is saying to them. Have you compared the platforms of the candidates to see who is for God and who is not? Who is for biblical principles and who is not? Have you looked at their track records to see what they are endorsing and how they have previously served our country? Have they truly served our country, or have the people of America served them by feeding their greedy lust for more money and power while they did nothing for the people of America? They're not serving my God. There's evil on both sides of the aisle, and there's good people on both sides of the aisle. But we must inquire of God and ask Him for voting wisdom. Are you even planning to vote in this crucial election? You know, voting is an opportunity for the voice of the Lord to be heard. Voting is a privilege, but more than that, for believers, it's our obligation to vote in God's appointed, those who will represent us, we the people. If you don't vote, I believe that someday you may answer to God for not caring enough about His nation, His people, and His church. Also, we must vote for the one who will be an ally to Israel, God's chosen. Can God count on you to pray and to vote, to do your part? When you deliver your ballot, pray over it and ask God to protect it and let it be counted. Whatever we put in His hands, He will guard and keep there for safekeeping. So the third thing, we pray for wisdom and understanding in all of God's ways. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind and the purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by His thoughts and purposes." So we have the mind of Christ, and we can know the mind of Christ through His word, through listening prayer, not just asking prayer. We have resurrection power. We have eyes to see and ears to hear. We have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us, and His name is Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:17-23. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. And it says, I pray that the Father of glory, the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. So we can't know him without intimacy with him. Goes on to say, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, the eyes of your understanding, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. So we're wealthy people. We have the wealth of God's kingdom at our disposal. We access it through prayer and declaration. Also, Almighty God, he finds a glorious inheritance in us. Isn't that awesome? He finds a glorious inheritance in his people. Verse 19, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. So we access his power through faith the same way that we've received salvation. We believe for it. Therefore, we shall have it in Jesus' name. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank of above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it. As we are those who are filled, completed in Christ, who also complete and fill him. What a wonderful and humbling mystery is revealed in these verses. The more I know him through intimacy, and the more I allow him to know me through intimacy, the more complete I become in him. So God, give us an understanding of the greatness and the power that is available to us through knowing you. We call for righteousness and justice to come back on our nation. Lord, we have your favor in these times. We're not judged as the world is judged. Hallelujah. Our spirits are enlightened with your spirit of knowledge and revelation. Lord, let our president and leaders right now have the spirit of revelation and repentance. Let congressional leaders, judges, and all those in authority in our country repent of their sins and turn to you, Father. The closer we get to the Father, the more power and authority we will feel from him. We should be speaking prophetically what will happen with the elections. We should be declaring that the president will represent righteousness and truth. The coming president we are to elect. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and we should be enforcing that right now too. We should be trampling on serpents and scorpions. We cannot have compassion on the enemy. So, Father, we proclaim your word over the United States of America. Our country is not going to a hell in a handbasket, as some have declared. And that's because we have intercessors all over the world right now who are praying fervently and faithful for our president and for others who hold high offices. Lord, we're praying for the governor of California and the powers that be. We pray for our mayor and the city of Modesto. And we declare that we are still one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. California is still the golden state. We call forth the golden California. We call forth the revival fires that once burned so fervently in our state to come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, we break the yoke over our leaders who are not serving according to your will and your plans. We cancel every assignment of the enemy, the devil, through the blood of Jesus, and we render him impotent in our local government, in our state government, and in the government of the United States of America. We command every evil spirit to let go of every confused evil leader so that they become like Cyrus and are used of God. And Lord, if they refuse to bow their knee to you, then send confusion in the enemy's camp and let them bring each other down as you did with the Philistines, in Jesus' name. We need to believe in the greater works. John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So one part of the greater works is that Jesus wants us to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. There's payback coming. So whatever you're suffering, it's payback time. You kick the devil out the door, but you take it a step further and you say, not so fast, devil. You owe me 7 times what you've stolen from me. So we go a step farther than we normally would. And that is a process of the greater works. It's one thing to cast the devil out, but when you make him pay you back, that's the greater works, along with healing and signs and wonders. The greater works are to come through us. It's not us doing them, but it's the Father, and he is doing them through us. It's not enough for the thief to be caught, but he has to repay 7 times what he stole from us. The whole body of Christ right now, we need to come into that place of maturity. We need to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We need to take back what he's stolen from the churches in America. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, you have given us authority over the devil and all of his demons. And Lord, we are seated together with you right now in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all rulers of the darkness of this world. We kick the devil out the door, and we demand through the authority that you've given us that he pay back 7 times what he has stolen from us. Say with me, devil, it's payback time. And I'm collecting 7 times what you stole from me. Amen. 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 That's right. Right now. No delays. Amen. So the fifth thing is we vote in heaven and we vote on earth. Matthew 8:18-19 says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind in heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if 2 of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So we're to go in and we vote in heaven first, and then we vote on earth. So how do we do that? We forbid unrighteousness to be in our nation. There's no unrighteousness in heaven. We forbid whatever is not in heaven to be present in our nation, in our homes, in our churches, in our personal lives. And then we go to the polls and we vote the heart of God. We vote people out who are not doing the will of our Father in heaven and not doing the people's will. We vote in those who have aligned themselves and their platforms with the word and the will of God. When you vote on earth, you're not voting for government. You're voting for people who are supposed to represent you. We get to choose, and we should always, always choose life. You know, we're to give voice to the children, to the babies. They don't have a voice of their own. The church is supposed to be the voice of the children. So we say no to abortion. We say no to sex trafficking. We're saying no to all the wickedness that is going on. The children have a right to have a voice. So we vote in heaven and we forbid the evil that has come against the children. But then we go to the polls and we reinforce that heavenly vote. You know, the Lord told Kevin Zedai in this encounter that he had so recently that every child that is in the womb right now is a prophet. And so we need to be praying and speaking over these children in the womb that they will be the voice, not only in America, to the world. They will be a voice of God to the world. And they will have unrestrained confidence and boldness to speak the word of truth. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we come before your throne right now, and we declare that righteousness and justice shall reign. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We agree with you, Father, that whatever is in government and doesn't agree with you, we remove in Jesus' name. We vote for the life of babies. We vote for justice and truth in Jesus' name. So number six, we ask for mercy. People are hanging in the balance. They don't know Jesus, and they need God's mercy. They're already under a curse and in judgment if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When Abraham asked for mercy for Sodom and Gomorrah, he delayed the judgment in order to get his people out. Do you have family members or friends who need the mercy of God? You can delay God's judgment over them through prayer and intercession. And so, Father, there are people who need a delayed judgment right now. They don't yet know you, so we ask that you have mercy upon them, O Lord. We pray for the souls in America, Father, and we ask that you give everyone an opportunity to come to you and know salvation that you freely gave them through your Son, Jesus. We ask for those in our families who have not yet received you, that you turn their stony hearts into hearts of flesh, Lord, so that they might receive your free gift of salvation. Nehemiah 9:31 says, "Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and on all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day." Have you ever asked that of the Lord? Don't let my trouble seem small to you, Lord. It's good prayer. Yes, it is. Evil spirits are confusing people about our rights in America today. These spirits are infiltrating and they're causing controversy. So we need to push back against them and let the glory of God manifest. So thank you, Jesus, that you have mercy. Wipe out every evil plan of the enemy. Thank you that many will come to salvation in the name of Jesus. And so we come against the spirits of confusion and controversy as to our legal rights in America. We declare that our Constitution will stay intact and be upheld. And we bind these evil spirits of confusion and controversy. We drive them out in Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom that still reigns in our nation. Thank you, Father, that you keep your covenant, and you will have mercy upon your people. So the final thing is that we pray for our justice system. Psalm 89:14, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." So we must pray for our justice system. We need to pray for Attorney General Barr. I certainly wouldn't want his job right now. He needs our prayers. Why? Because God is using him to clean house of heinous crimes against humanity and treasonous acts against our country. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Attorney General William Barr and his team right now, and we thank you that he has strength and power, and the anointing and the yoke-breaking power right now is upon him in the name of Jesus. We pray that you use him mightily to bring to justice to those who will not repent of their wicked sins against children and against the weak in Jesus' name. I break the power of every evil spirit through the name and the blood of Jesus that is infiltrating people and causing them to commit heinous criminal acts of the highest level. Let people disqualify themselves through their own mouth, Lord. Expose the enemy's schemes and strategies. Let there be confusion in the enemy's camp. And let those in the enemy's camp turn on each other and destroy the works of the devil. The government is supposed to enforce what we believe, and they are supposed to protect us, the people. The enemy has crossed the line, and it's time for God's people to rise up and be counted in these days. We need to give the devil a huge headache right now. For sure. You know, God's a good God. You know that He's not in charge of this world. That may be a shock to some of you. In Genesis 1, He said, I put you in charge of over everything pertaining to the earth. We're to steward the world. We are in charge. That's why this world cannot prosper without our prayers, church. Those in high places of government cannot prosper. They cannot do the right thing without our prayers. Our assignment is to manage the earth. It's a broken world. It's not God's fault. He doesn't do terrible things, does He? He doesn't have sickness to give to people. There's no sickness in heaven. He doesn't have oppression to put on people. There's no oppression in heaven. He doesn't have trauma in heaven to put on people. So God, let your people have a shift in their perception of who you are. Let them know that their sins were paid for, and let them repent and receive you as Lord and Savior. We take this nation back in the spirit first through prayer and declarations of faith, and then what do? We vote. Church, I want to call you right now, and I have our pastor's permission to a fast for these next 9 days up until Election Day and through Election Day. It's for our country, for our president, for the one that is to be elected as the next president of the United States. How many are with me? How many will fast and pray? And know that you're not making a vow to me or to Pastor Verna. You're making it before God. So I urge you. I would love so much for you to come at least to the next 2 Monday nights. I'd love to see this place packed with people who want to come and pray for our country. Tomorrow night, we're going to be going over praying for all 15 points from Kevin Zadai and declaring the scriptures over them. Come, we won't embarrass you. I won't put a microphone in your hand, especially if you're uncomfortable in praying, but just your presence here, you come into agreement with us. You know, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. How many can we put to flight when we come into agreement with the Lord? Amen. There's power in unity. There's power when we come into agreement in prayer. Our nations, our elections, and our president are in need of prayer and agreement more now than ever in the history of a lifetime. We're at a crossroads that can only lead in the right direction through agreement and intercession and through our vote. So do the right thing in Jesus' name. God bless you and God bless America. Stand to your feet if you will. I want to give opportunity right now for someone of you who may be here, who may be watching, to make the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. The greatest decision we'll ever make in our life is not which president we're going to vote for. It's who we're going to take and make the Lord and Savior of our life. Jesus has given us a choice to either choose Him or reject Him. And so, if that's you today and you've never made that decision, you know, somebody may have been praying for you. They may have delayed judgment in your life because they want you to come to know the Lord. They want you to spend eternity with Him. So I want you just to repeat after me, if you would, right now. There's no right or wrong prayer that we can make. There was a man in the Bible that simply just beat on his chest and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all we have to say. And so, Lord, let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me of my sin and to give me eternal life with you. Lord, I confess my sin. And I repent of them right now. And I ask you to forgive me, Jesus. Come into my life. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. I receive you right now. Amen. And the Bible says that if you made that decision to receive Jesus as your Savior, that heaven is throwing a party for you right now. And that your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that your eternity is now sealed in heaven with Jesus. So thank you all for coming, for listening today. God bless America. And if you need personal prayer, come. We would love to pray for you. God bless you. Go with God this week. Live for Him. And don't forget to pray. Amen.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.